Engage.
The Rancor's Brothel.
And welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, issue number 88. Somewhere in the 80s. Someday I'll go back into iTunes and count them all. I'm your host, Matt.
Hello.
Oh, I'm your interim co-host, Lucas Patterson.
Also with me, you guys, is me, Troy.
What? Troy sounds like he's high right now.
Great. Yeah, just a hair. Who we got here?
Loyal Vandenberg.
Loyal Vandenberg, who I've talked about on the show before, could tell me anything he wants in his deep bass voice. I'm actually going to pay him whenever I go to the doctor that if there's bad news, my doctor is to contact Loyal ahead of time so that Loyal can then relay any bad news to myself. Can I just get a check? Matt, it's malignant.
Check. Matt, it's malignant.
Oh, God. Oh, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
Oh, I melted a little
string,
there.
Sir. Have you thought about voiceover work?
I have a little. I've done a little.
Cool.
And John Graham.
Of FidgetPress.com.
Of FidgetPress.com.
Ryan Dibble.
Ryan Dibble of the Dibbles. we are broadcasting to you live, not really live, it's recorded, from the Android's Dungeon, 9719 East U.S. Highway 36. Hey, if you're interested, you can check out this month's Indiana Business Journal and see a really great article about John Sullivan and Danger Dillman here running the store. And every time I say something like that, he looks at me. He's just so embarrassed, but none of you know what he looks like. He's a mystery man. I'll tell you what. Let's describe him. He's approximately 5'9", darkly handsome. No. Nice beard.
Just picture
receding hairline.
Wolverine.
I don't know what to say. He looks like what I would look like if I stopped eating cake. That's probably close to accurate. Huh? He does look like John Cryer.
Oh, man.
Ducky!
I see it.
Oh. Oh! And the unassuming, yet wonderfully talented and beautiful Miss Danger Dillman behind the counter. Thank you for letting us record here today. We appreciate it. We are having our monthly book club meeting. Yep. We're going to be talking about
Deadly
Remender's,
Class.
Yeah, Deadly Class by somebody Remender. What's his first name?
Rick
Remender.
Pretty easy to remember.
I didn't like the book, so
well,
I'm not going
to. We'll talk about that
later.
That'll be the last half of this show.
yeah, so we're going to lead into the actual book club discussion, but first we're going to talk about the things we talk about every week, like the Geek Movie of the Week. And this week's Geek Movie of the Week, we're springing this here on Ryan, John, and Loyal, was Horns. 2013's Horns. Has everybody seen it?
I have not yet. It's on Netflix, though.
So. Yeah, that's why I got the Netflix up, and I was like, oh, Horns is on here. I've been meaning to check that out.
I just watched it the other night.
I watched it Thursday.
I love the book. I love Joe Hill, and
I watched it last night. So.
It's on my list.
It's on your to-do list?
Yeah.
So we're not going to spoil anything. Troy watched the first half because I told him too late what we were doing today.
Apparently
so
Troy has a bedtime.
At 9:30. On a
or a life where I do other things besides hang out with you two jokers.
Yeah. Single guy. We just wait till our wives go to bed and watch the things that we want to watch.
My wife actually watched it with me.
Oh, what's that like? Is that neat? Is that as cool as it sounds?
I mean, there was a couple scenes where she was like, oh.
Just... Like, was it the ones with the boobies?
No, it was some of the scenes where people die.
Oh, well, yeah, it was a little, there was some.
There were a couple scenes.
There
were
a little.
It's a romance,
brutal points.
It's like Nicholas Sparks on Absinthe.
Yes,
I will go with that.
Perfect.
I will totally go with that.
So it's like a date night for you and your wife. Then.
Right? Yeah.
Check.
A date night
done.
For us is Nicholas Sparks on acid.
Absinthe.
Shut
Absinthe.
Up. It's close enough.
Yeah. The name. I don't care. Use whatever hallucinogen you prefer.
So is this the same Joe Hill from Lock and Key? Joe Hill?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I'll be watching that tonight then.
He's Brooklyn Phillips.
Also Stephen King's kid.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
Joe Hill is Stephen King's son.
Man.
Really? Yeah.
Is Jonah Hill related?
No.
Probably not.
That would be awesome.
He took his mother's maiden name. His real first name is Joe, but he took his mother's maiden name when he started writing because he didn't want to be necessarily associated with his father.
Right. Don't need
so
there's
the merit of his own work.
That's like Nicolas Cage. His real name is Nicholas Coppola.
Yeah.
I didn't know the origin. Thank you.
Yeah. That's cool.
You're welcome.
Now the book, the original book, is it a novel or is okay? It's not a graphic. Okay, cool. I think it would make a really great.
It was
graphic.
His probably would, second book
second
too,
book,
I believe.
Yeah.
The first one was Heart-Shaped Box, which is a really good book, but that's a whole nother thing.
Hmm. you know, it's kind of fun to see a creator like that, to see the second generation come out. My favorite right now is Max Brooks, Mel Brooks' son, mm-hmm. who did World War Z and the survival guide, Zombie Apocalypse, the book. So fun.
And
so
you wonder if he's as funny as his dad.
I mean, you'd have to hope so. He spent his entire childhood hanging out with Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. He better be funny. If he's not, there's no hope for the world.
He's just deadpan. He's like, yeah. Hello, oh. I'm Max Brooks.
I want to write about zombies.
And they're not funny zombies.
I'm emo Mel Brooks.
Actually, he did a book on an all-black regiment in World War One. I'm forgetting the Harlem Hellfighters, that was it. It's a historical story. He started even before World War Z, I think.
Mm.
And it's really good.
Oh. Hmm. Well, check that out. So, second-generation authors. Horns, though, fun movie. Well put together. Shoestring budget. It's an independent film. Released in 2013. I remember seeing a preview for it and thinking, oh my god, I gotta check that out when it hits theaters. Never heard about when it hit theaters. Just one day, I saw it at Family Video. I was like, oh, that's for rent.
That came out.
Yeah. And I mean, by one day I saw it at Family Video, I mean like 2 weeks ago I saw it at Family Video, I thought, oh, I'll rent that pretty soon. And then Netflix. Two nights ago I saw it on Netflix. I said, okay, well, God wants me to watch this movie. Let's just turn that on.
It had been shelved for a long time, too. They completed the movie... I think it was ready to go about 6 months at least before it came out.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those just sat there. They didn't know how to market it.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's Harry Potter.
Yeah, well, when I had read about that, I think it was because some of the scenes in there was a little too NSFW for it. Like they didn't have the R rating yet. They had to mark some stuff down.
Oh, okay.
That's one reason it was shelved. Mm. At least from what I read,
there was some pretty graphic
scenes in there. Yeah,
scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, both romantically graphic and violently graphic.
Right.
We can say. I think that's a PG way of putting it, correct?
Yeah.
Juno Temple, mm-hmm. whom really, I mean, my only experience with Juno Temple as an actress was she was Catwoman's roommate in Dark Knight Rises.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So she did great, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she sold the part.
Absolutely.
She's really
gorgeous woman.
She's beautiful. I didn't, I don't know. I don't know if it was something with Dark Knight Rises. I thought she didn't look too pretty in that. She had very, like, ratty hair. And just,
well, she was looked, a thief.
She was a thief, and they portrayed her that way. And so when I saw that her name was on this, I said, oh, Juno Temple, okay, well, let's check this out. And I was like, oh, my God, Juno Temple's my new imaginary girlfriend. All she needed was red hair and clean skin.
So a lot less clothes.
That did happen.
Yeah, it did. And it was glorious, so I'll just leave that there. But the plot line of the movie, very interesting. Like, I don't want to spoil anything since 2.5 of you haven't seen it.
Doesn't mean I still won't watch it.
You know, the story, the gist of the story is, it starts with Daniel Radcliffe waking up, booze bottles around him, empty. His girlfriend has been murdered. He is the number one suspect. He's out on bail right now. And it's a big part of it's his journey to find the actual killer. Now, along the way, he makes God very angry. And he goes to where the little shrine is at the point of death where they found the body. And there's, you know, crosses and everything. And they were a religious grouping. They were churchgoers and good people in general. You know, still a little drugs, a little drinking, but generally good people. And he just was railing drunk and pissed all over the shrine and was screaming, you know, at God and F you and blah, blah, blah. Wakes up the next day, he's got these bumps in his forehead. And that was the beginning of it. They kind of rupture, they become little horns. As the movie progresses, the horns get larger and longer. There is a power that comes along with these horns.
I didn't expect it to get so sci-fi.
I didn't either.
It really, but
I thought it was just going to be like, this is what would happen if a human being woke up with horns.
Right, but it got very sci-fi. And yeah. It was very interesting.
He didn't turn completely red or anything like that. Have a big
hand. I don't want to spoil anything. No. I don't want to spoil anything, really. But you know what? Rasputin showed up.
Really?
Yeah. Big fight. Big fight. sorry, Gilman. She just had to jump over the counter. Just running away. Fire hazard. No.
Minor.
Again, like as Mr. Mitch Hedberg said, if you're fine, bull, you're never a fire hazard. You will run out the door as well. Any, I don't know, what struck you the most, Lucas Loyal?
And the half that
and the Troy half the Troy is saying.
I actually really, really enjoyed the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You had like the Pixies, the Eels, Fever Ray was in there, Bowie, Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. There's a portion in there where a fight scene happens and Manson kicks in, and I lost it.
Yeah.
It was, that was like the best thing.
By lost, you mean you ejaculated.
I did. Okay.
Just checking. Just checking.
The context of the fight, too. Just who's fighting.
Right. Yeah, the reason that it happens is always really worth seeing.
Because it's everybody who comes in contact with them.
It's almost like they're hedonistic.
So what happens in this is with this guy's horns that Ig develops, people can't help but tell him their deepest desire, their biggest, like, most hedonistic secret, what they want. Sometimes it's just something innocuous like, I really want to eat these donuts. Other times it's, I want to
leave my child at the fire department. Like, that was an insane part of it.
That was weird.
I just want to tell that lady to make her fucking kid shut up.
I love that.
It was hardcore. What's her name?
I can never remember her name, but
she was one of those faces, like, I've seen them everywhere. Like, actually, we just did an instant film review last week on The Equalizer, the Denzel Washington film, and it was based on a TV show. The guy that was in the TV show was Juno Temple's dad in this movie.
Right.
So I made the connection, because it was the same day, or it was a couple days after we recorded that I made that connection. Sorry, that was neither here nor there. I was just saying that for Troy, but he's staring intently at his phone. He's probably watching the movie right now. I'm sorry, man. Anyway, movie had a budget of $3 million.
Wow.
That's pretty shoestring. Yeah, very well.
CG was light. Alexander Aja, or Aya, or however you want to say his last name, the director.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got pretty good experience with low budget. I mean, he did The Hills Have Eyes, the remake.
Yeah.
He also did, P2, the parking lot one, where it was just like in a parking lot. In a parking structure.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's pretty low budget, too. But, I mean, there are directors that have talent as far as making a small budget seem like it's a big budget.
Yeah, those are all cool to see.
Do you feel like this film would have been super successful had it been major release? Yeah. I mean, I saw commercials for it, but, like, it wasn't a major release.
Oftentimes, the more money you throw at a movie, the more producer oversight there is, and then the story gets changed and watered down.
That's why we have Tusk in existence.
Exactly.
I still haven't seen that. Need to.
You need to. Yeah. So good. So much fun. Sorry.
Which one?
Tusk.
So did Daniel Radcliffe, like, add to the show, or was there, like, a Harry Potter?
No. Great American accent.
Like,
it's really fun to see him do that.
10 minutes into the movie, he drops an F-bomb, and I go, Harry Potter just swore... My childhood is ruined.
Like, within the first 10 minutes, too, he's
like drinking and smoking. I was like, "This is so." It was awkward for somebody
he's
who grew up
the whole film.
Grew up watching Harry Potter, and you're like, "Oh, not the same guy at all." It's so awkward.
Yeah, if you jump right from the eighth movie to this, it's pretty jarring.
But if you had the misfortune of watching
The Boy Who Lived,
The Woman,
and
Woman in Black before watching this,
never saw it.
It was terrible.
Then you're just like, "Ugh." All right, this is so much better.
I think it's like 5 years for the actor between the two roles.
Somewhere in there.
It's also right after he did the play.
Where
he
was
Equus, yeah.
He's like, I'm naked! All you women, come see me.
I'm not going to lie, Daniel Radcliffe's a handsome man. I would probably go for it.
The American accent was... we talked about it a little earlier on a different show. But
it was distracting at first.
It was, because it wasn't perfect, and then, like, as the film got on, you didn't catch some of the English nuances in there as much. I think, like, the angrier he got with the character, the better the accent sounded.
That's weird. You would think he would slip more.
Charlie
Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, like, the more he got angry, the more British his voice got.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And the way that he would say garage, he's like, garage.
Garage.
Yeah, let me check my schedule. Damn it. Can we edit that? Okay, keep going. Anyway, Horns, great movie. Everybody should check it out. You know what? If you check it out and come in and talk to John Sullivan at the Android's Dungeon in scenic Avon, Indiana, I'm sure he'd be very pleased. Tell him that Matt sent you.
That won't help.
No, it won't. Actually, tell him that Troy sent you.
It might hurt you more than it will help you.
As we said in previous shows, if you tell him that Troy sent you, you will actually have to pay more for your goods and services. We apologize. Having said that, the next little topic to talk about was the just local comic markets.
local events, local geek life. And then we will cut for a little bit, and we will be back with the discussion of Deadly Class by Rick Remender.
Well, luckily, we have one of the individuals who runs these shows with us today, so...
Yeah, by happy accident, John Graham of FidgetPress.com came in today and sat down here with us. John runs Independent... I call it the independent movement. What do you actually call it?
The independent show.
The independent. But it's not just a show. Like, you are always sharing so much for two little shows a year. Like, it's a way of life, you know? It's not just these two shows. Like, John Graham, even tertiarily, background, you help all of us get more crap done.
Right.
You know?
We can call it the independent experience.
Ooh,
there you go.
That. You
there
like it? There
independent go. Experience.
Trademark. John Graham's independent experience.
Copyright pending.
Yeah.
Quick, write that down and mail it to yourself. That's a way to copyright things, right?
Seal it in an envelope with my blood.
Old-fashioned wax seal. Put your wedding ring in it.
Yeah.
I love it. No, the independent show. We went to the last one. Me and Lucas sat at a table and shilled our wares for a while. We had great time that day.
I attended the first one before I had a table at the second one as well. So.
I still owe you half the money for the table that we're having the next one.
Yep.
So,
yeah, tables for anybody who listens to the show that had a table at the last show. If you didn't know, those are up now. You can get a table.
Absolutely.
We only got a week left. I sent everybody an email and
check your
after
emails.
That 1 week, then it's going to be open up to the public. But I wanted to give
everybody.
I wanted to give everybody who had done it before for that first year, because you know you're growing that first year. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of struggle. A thank you.
We got squatters' rights.
Yeah, squatters' rights. So. But it'll be a great show because it's part of the HoosierCon this year, too. So imagine the entire Wyndham West taken up for gaming and families and all different ages and types of people will be there. And then on Sunday is our show inside there. So I'm really excited about it because there's going to be a lot of people shuffling through that maybe need exposure to the independent comic market.
It's going to be a really, really fun time, too. I'm super excited about it. What else local? Of course, we here are all at the Android's Dungeon in Scenic Avon, Indiana. Which I have to say 14 times an episode, and I get a dollar. So it's a pretty sweet deal. But here we have our book club meetings. What other local geek events do you guys do? What do you look for? I know right now there's a brony meeting at Downtown West.
Well, it's a concert.
Okay.
6:30 tonight.
6:30 tonight.
What?
I gotta take my son.
What? All I have to say is, what?
Yeah. Now, I will tell you this. Lee Shirolis, who is a local comic creator, is actually playing bass. This is his first performance ever.
Oh, cool.
Ever in his life.
Good luck to you, sir.
A live performance tonight.
It's a lot of fun. So. I played drums in a band in high school. It's a lot of fun to get out there.
Yeah, I think it's a bucket list item for him. And.
Right.
He's
good
dyed
for
his
him,
hair
man.
Purple and will be playing bass singing My Little Pony song. So very good. How could you not want to see that?
I mean really though, friendship is magic.
It
that's
is.
All I'm saying.
It is.
It's right there. Front
true.
Cons in Indianapolis. Different
blowing
events, gaming
up.
Events that we go to. Sorry, what, Ryan?
I said they're blowing up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
should just
are
have...
in a glut right now of conventions to go to. Like,
I mean,
my
next
summer's
weekend
pretty full.
Is WizardCon. At the end of the month, you've got another Days of the Dead.
Anime Crossroads. So it's Wizard World, Anime Crossroads, Culture Shock. Then Indiana Comic Con in March 13th through 15th. And then there's something else at the end of March.
In conjunction? Or is that later? Is that summertime?
There's just a bunch. Like, it's just almost overload now.
Yeah.
PopCon and GenCon towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Is AwesomeCon coming back?
AwesomeCon is not coming back right now.
They are not very awesome.
I mean, you say that, but like,
I mean, it was.
I got to see Adam West.
Yeah, I mean,
we did a
just,
panel.
It was unfortunate. It was unfortunate for them that not that many people showed up.
It was not well marketed, I believe, as well.
That could be.
They had very ridiculous, very locally made commercials that looked like they belonged on cable access.
Right.
So I would have just saved that money and probably done more radio spots, more flyers.
Like what WizardCon is doing.
But really,
the
guest list for that show was great.
92.3 and almost every other commercial is for WizardCon.
And PopCon had a whole run of shows with NPR, a lot of interviews, and so did Indiana Comic Con. You know what? I mean... Yeah, some young people might think NPR is not that cool, but I sure as hell
love it. I listen to NPR.
Yeah. You know? When I'm not listening to a podcast, I'm listening to NPR. So, I also have to eat so I can take my back.
I have it on my radio.
Yeah. PopCon had a lot of events going up to the main event, too, which I thought was great. Little gaming events or get-togethers with the very initial question and answer with local folks. What do you want to see? I mean, I thought that was wonderful. So PopCon is the... I don't know, the home state favorite, I guess.
Now we're not getting panels this time at Independent, right?
No, we're gonna have a demo table.
Okay.
I'm still cool. Space is a little tight for a panel room, but I have like a corner marked out where an artist can get at that table for 30 minutes and maybe do a drawing demo or someone doing bookbinding.
That's a neat
idea.
There's
a lot of people that have specific skills and I wanna promote them, and it's like they just get to move over the side of the room and be like, oh, and this is how I ink a comic, or this is how I put together a page, or things like that, and then I'll promote the crap out of that to make people know that, hey, 3:30, come in here.
Yeah, the sculpting panel at the last Independent show was really interesting, but yeah, it'd be cool to get that out amongst the rest of the room and more people see it.
Right. Yeah, the idea is to kind of shorten up those time frames a little bit to allow for more people to kind of show off. I think some new creators are like, they don't have much to offer, but we've learned over the course of these two shows that everybody has something to offer a new person trying to get into it. I mean, I don't care if you just put out your first book. You know a lot more and can offer a lot about your experience.
Yeah, me and Lucas and another guy, we made a zombie cow book, and we just sat there and people
another
had
guy,
so many questions.
As if Chad doesn't exist, we just call him the other guy.
but we made a zombie cow book, and people had so many questions about, like, how do you even piece that together? Like, how do you outline a story?
We took people just walked by a table at Walker Stalker Con and gave ideas for that. That's how that book came together. That's how we did Joan of Orca.
It started with me being drunk in the garage.
That too.
Yeah.
Joan of Orca, which part 3 is now complete. That is the final part and hopefully will be out within the next couple of weeks. And we will do a print run on that as well. But that's what we did at PopCon. We brought this idea, this ridiculous idea about a girl.
We only really had a title and a main concept.
Yeah, it was
and
completely ridiculous.
We let the
audience
build the entire story.
Yeah, you know, it's about a girl who can get in touch with a whale. And the audience wrote that entire story.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gist of it. Well, other nerd things. What locally are you looking forward to this summer? And it doesn't have to be an event. Like, for instance, I'm really super looking forward to John Con.
Also known as Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day here at the Androids Dungeon will feature cosplayers.
In beautiful scenic Avon, Indiana.
In scenic Avon, Indiana.
Fantabulous Avon, Indiana.
Just look at that weather.
Yeah. We're both the clouds and all the people are white. Just a joke. Sorry. John just...
That's it. Made a face. It's racist. I'm leaving.
But, no, John Con is... We're trying to get a whole event going here at the dungeon. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know the three of us, Troy, myself, and Lucas, will be here volunteering, working all day.
Cosplayers will be here. It'll be cosplay contest, I believe.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be a couple different contests, I thought.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot
maybe,
going on.
Maybe if John Sullivan could come over here real quick and just tell us what is the idea for... Free Comic Book Day here at the dungeon.
Come on over.
All right, so John Sullivan of the Androids Dungeon in scenic Avon, Indiana. Tell us about John Con.
All right, John Con. We're basically making a mini Comic Con here at the store on May 2nd. It's going to be starting at 6 a.m. We're going to run at least until 6 p.m., possibly 8 p.m. We're having games, prizes, raffles, food, cosplayers. The 501st Legion is supposed to be here. There will be a cosplay contest and, of course, free comics.
Heaven on earth.
Right.
Wow.
Heaven on earth. And that's why John Con, super excited. Just saying. Plus, I'm going to be here all day, too.
Yeah.
Trying to help John.
We'll be here doing stuff.
Yeah. We'll be here and no, it's okay. You forgot, John.
We already mentioned it. It's
we'll
fine.
Be here. Okay. We'll probably record some, but we'll also be here to just help. So we're here to work. And, you know, the guys of the book club, like, I like to think we're John's and Dillman's support structure. So
we're the entourage.
Like, we had a plan 2 months ago to just start coming in and forcing you to let us help.
Just like, we're just going to start doing work.
Like bagging, boarding, anything. We were just going to come in and be like, John.
But then the comics didn't come in that day.
Yeah. Like, literally, it was that day.
Oh, the day that the books were late.
The books were late, and we were going to come in. and just help you. And like, we got the, like, you saw the Facebook message. We were all texting each other that morning, like, oh, crap, I don't think we can go tonight. I guess we'll go another time.
Was that the day you guys came in and just hung out all night?
Yeah. You didn't have anything to do? Yeah.
Oh, Alex will be here on Free Comp Day as security.
Yeah, because he got his tickets to the gun
Alex
show.
And his guns. Gentlemen.
So,
that's the third time I've been mocked for that today.
You're not mocked.
No, I'm not mocked.
It's not a joke.
I'm too scared to mock you, Alex.
You guys at least are nice about it. The other two people, they're just like, no, mocking.
No.
Always mocking.
Mocking is just an invitation to punch them in the face.
Yeah, once you hit the somebody, end. They'll stop mocking.
Yeah, no mocking.
They'll respect
I do not condone violence.
That's
I
so
do.
Much nicer than the mocking
I encourage it. Okay, so John Con 2015, May 2nd. That is what I will be referring to as the day after the Avengers 2 comes out.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where I'll be that night.
We're going to be really tired that day.
Yeah. Like, we should just go see it over here at the theater and just sleep in our cars in the parking lot.
We might do that. It's going to be like a 3-hour window.
Yeah.
So.
We might as well do it. Let's get some tents. Put some tents in a parking lot. How fast will we get arrested? Let's find out.
You won't.
It's a sweet.
Not here. You
won't. Not in the back where nobody can see us from the road. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and break for now. We'll be back with the book club meeting. Again, that's Deadly Class by Rick Remender. Does anybody else want to throw anything out there before we go?
Oh, my show dates.
Yes, independent show.
Yeah, independent show is April 19th. But the Hoosier Con is the 17th, 18th, and 19th. But from 10 to 5 on the 19th, come down and say hello. It's free.
Yeah. Free. Hey, free. Yay.
Woo.
Just like Free Comic Book Day.
John Con. John Con.
We need a theme song for it. John Con. John Con. We got comic books.
And they're free.
I'm going to speed a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
it's a little late for me.
I just saw Gab. I'm just a sucker for gatherings.
Okay. Some people and said, hey.
Thank you. I just don't have a lot of friends. And I just
because punks are good for you.
Hello. We're doing something different this week in recording our book club meeting. So this will be on the tail end of the Rancor's Brothel number 88. And we sure appreciate you still listening. We're recording to you from the Androids Dungeon in scenic Avon, Indiana. It's 9719 East U.S. Highway 36, Suite Q. Today we're reading Deadly Class by Rick Remender, right? Let's go around the room real quick and identify everybody. Hi, I'm Matt Etter.
I'm Lucas Patterson.
Troy Neely.
Jonathan Sullivan.
Thank you, Gilman.
I'm Trevor.
Hi, Trevor. It's okay, you don't have to say your last name if you don't want to. It's going to be on a broadcast medium.
I'm mixing it up.
Hey.
That's cool. It's Book Club Anonymous.
Alex Sullivan.
That's Alex.
That's Alex.
David Strainer.
Leslie of Crick and Firm Entertainment.
Hooray. Ryan Dibble.
Loyal.
Loyal.
From earlier.
And returning.
Okay, so let's start it right off the bat with I hated this book. Anybody, who liked this book? Who read this book? Let's start there. Raise your hands. Okay, in the audience, that's seven and a half people read it. Who liked the book? You have to raise your hands. It's an audio podcast. Like, I liked it. Wally liked it. Devil, you liked it. You guys liked it?
Yeah.
Cool. What did you like about it? I just want to know because it's horrible. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. It's Breakfast Club for Assassins. It's ridiculous. Speaking of things that are ridiculous, I just want to point out, too, that Troy and Ryan here were walking back from Half Price Books with Lucas in between them, and it looked like a gay couple taking their son for a walk.
I wanted to do the thing where they held hands and, like,
swung
me.
You.
It just didn't happen.
What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
It looks like we may have another person.
No, oh!
No, I think he was a shopper.
Go away.
We don't want your business.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet vehicle, though. Let's open back up for him. Maybe he'll buy something.
Just open the door.
I'm just kidding.
Come buy all the wall books.
I'm
sure
he wants to sell something, actually.
All right, Loyal, you liked the book. What did you like about it, man?
Actually, I think I like the art most of all. The story was good, but the art is some of my favorite comic art I've seen in a long time.
Art was a saving grace in this, for sure. Dope?
I like Remender. Like, I mean, that's my thing. Like, I think he's a good writer. The writing in it, for me, was what got me. The art is good. It's a different style of art. And, you know, the concept behind it. I mean, mm-hmm. Breakfast Club for Assassins, yeah, I could kind of see where you're coming from with that, but I still think it's a pretty cool idea.
I think Marcus is Judd Nelson. That's all I'm saying. You too liked it, Troy?
I enjoyed it. I like the art. I'm not crazy about the art, but it's pretty good. Again, I'm a Remender fan. I'm not in love with the book, but I enjoyed it. I like the story most of all, honestly. The concept. I think saying it's a Breakfast Club with assassins is a bit reductive, but...
Cockbag. Lucas, art for you.
Probably. Art, yeah, art for me. That was the first thing that got me. Like, my favorite issue is issue 4, where they go to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Nevada.
The whole, like, the trippy scenes when he's on acid is really fun. And then, of course, the cameo from Fear and Trouble in Las Vegas cameo in there. That was great.
I do love how every panel has a distinct color theme.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's by page, sometimes it's just by scene. But you definitely, you know, like, oh, this is a yellow page. I'm in a yellow page. I would really like to, I wish I had time to really look into it to the point that, like, was that indicative of what's happening in the scene? Are all of the more violent scenes yellow? I don't know. Just kind of curious.
I mean, it's... I mean, just like in a film, you know, the coloration just sort of sets the tone of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a super sad moment, it's typically a blue color. If it's super intense, it's red. I mean,
if it's like doing it and stuff, it's red.
Kind of. Yeah. If you continue to read the series, you'll find out.
Yeah, because this was horribly like. I don't want to like summarize the story here, but. They go to this high school for assassins, and they're given all the rules by the sensei. Don't break these rules. You don't know what'll happen to you. It'll be awful. And then it's like slap on the wrist. You get a day of solitary confinement, which I think for an assassin school is pretty good. I think like the assassin school in my head, they cut off your fingers, you know? Like, you can still chase bad guys without your pinky toes. Let's get a hammer. You know, like, what else are they going to do? And so that was the only, like, rule they didn't break was the sex rule. Kind of started a little bit, and I was like, you know, slowly unbuttoning as I read it, and then nothing. There's no payoff.
Well, I'll
see. Which here's your book back. It's a little sticky.
I'll spoil it for you. There, it happens. I mean, it eventually does happen. So.
Is it Marcus?
Which is weird. Marcus is 14 in this book, so a little young for that sort of thing, I suppose. But it happens.
He's killed so many people.
Well, yes, but still, I mean, I don't know.
It's a little young for fucking. It's okay to kill people. Jesus. You need to get your morals straight, sir.
I am asking.
At least he has something, right? I mean, anybody can build a bomb.
Like, when I was 14, I got a hand job. Is that going to be better than Marcus?
Yeah.
Is it still a hand job if you give it to yourself?
Oh! Oh!
Crit confirmed for the win.
Touché. Other thoughts? What struck you... now, the people that read it and didn't like it, what struck you that was a positive before we get into the negatives? Anybody? Am I the only one that didn't like it?
Nobody that read it and didn't like it finished the book.
I have indifferent feelings at the moment. As of halfway through the book, I don't see it as something that... if it were to stop right now, I probably wouldn't continue.
Right.
If this would have been, like, you know, issues 1, 2, and 3, I'd probably be like, eh. Alright, you know, I mean, I'm just like, I don't know, this kid comes off so hard in the beginning, and then at this point he's just telling this guy, like, about his emotions and stuff on their first assignment to go kill a homeless guy, and I'm just like, what the heck is this?
Yeah. No, that like, makes me sad.
You find out, I mean, you just find out that a lot of these people aren't really who they say they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody's got
you get the beginnings of that.
Yeah, thing, everybody's right? Got a weird backstory as to how they got to the school. And why they stay there.
But the weird thing is everybody already knows Marcus's.
Right.
Which is kind of the flip script for
which
for
you
this
find
book.
Out as
or they
you
think,
read further.
They think
they do.
I mean, they think they do.
I know that too.
I did like the vehicle of us only getting little glimpses of what Marcus did, which is apparently built some kind of a pipe bomb. It looked like with a bunch of nails sticking out of it, kind of haggard. Didn't get to see the explosion in Volume 1. Does that come? Well,
yes. Everything is explained in Volume 2.
Damn it.
Oh, man.
The first hit is free.
So it looks like
was...
Well, the first hit was $7, Alex.
$7? You got off easy, man.
I didn't even buy any.
I paid for it.
he gets... Lucas gets the issues. He's got them all. He's like, he bought that just on a whim anyway, and he's like, here, you want
to... I was on my way. I went away to his house to watch some flicks, and I was like, damn it, I forgot those comics. Oh, I'll pay $7 for them.
And then he's like, here, you know, if you like it, you can pay me for it. I'm not paying you for it.
That's okay.
He's going to go home and be like, I really like that book.
John, I'd like to return this comic.
After Matt read it?
No refund.
Oh. I'll pay you for the damn
I'm not
book,
worried about it.
Asshole. Where were we? I'm sorry.
I mean, if I had just read the first issue, I probably would not have read the next four or five.
Yeah.
Honestly, it opens up a bit wordy, and I like wordy stuff, but it opens up very wordy, and I'm just like, okay, get to the point where you start killing people, because that's what I thought this book was about.
And then, I just wants to see murder!
But I mean, this book was built up to, you know, with those terms, and I'm like, I wasn't getting any of it. And it was very, very wordy until, like, actual dialogue started happening. It was all just exposition, really. But I enjoyed it from, you know, I read the whole thing. I got my $8 worth or whatever.
It was like Wanted plus Breakfast Club equals Deadly Class. That's what I got.
I liked moments in the book. Like there was,
there are good moments.
There were stretches where it's just like, okay, what the hell are you doing with yourself? Why hasn't somebody capped you in the back of the head? And then there were just explosive moments where like... That is fantastic.
Yeah, like, what's her face? Saya. You know, there are points in this movie where the kids seem invincible. Movie? She crashes... Did I say movie? I'm sorry, in the book. Where she seems invincible. Like, when she crashes through the front windshield of the cop car and kicks the cop in the face, that was straight up out of Sin City. You know? Except she went feet... Yeah, he went feet first, too, didn't he?
Well, extrapolate on that. Would this make a good TV series or movie? Would it make it better if it was something... audiovisual as opposed to
I think this would have been made a very good like in the vein of Sin City Kill Bill like it would work very well I think in that kind of style like it was very cinematic you know with a little Kevin Smith wordiness to it.
I mean, it's a dialogue driven book for sure, and you have to do that when you have a story in which a lot of the fighting includes very fast like kind of martial artsy fight scenes because you're going panel by panel. And then hang on here, stupid fucking computer.
Does anybody, how old is
they're kind of extreme in their ideals.
Fair enough.
Hey, Lucas.
Yeah. Their SWAT team is called the Swatska.
Swatsky.
I don't know about that.
Pants in this series.
Issue 10.
Yeah.
About shitting pants?
Like, they've already made three references to people.
Well, two.
Two.
And then
people crapping themselves.
Wouldn't you crap yourself?
I feel like all these kids should just be like, in fetal position somewhere in a hallway shaking at the school because they're just kids and probably a lot of crap in themselves on a day-to-day.
Well, most of them are drugged out of their mind at certain
points. The idea of the rampant drug use again with the like don't do drugs here, don't have sex, don't kill any of your classmates, it's like, I mean, they take a copious amount of drugs. I am 400 pounds, I couldn't take near the amount of drugs that Marcus takes and survive.
Yeah.
Try.
The Runaway Hippies, that was a great scene.
Yeah, he eats the whole thing of acid and it's
he
like a slow
burn.
He takes
six hits at the same time.
Really bad idea.
Yeah.
Cameos in the book that I loved. And not just people, but like characterizations too. You know, the book takes place in 1987. We see Hunter S. Thompson when they're in Vegas. Did everybody catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Little panels, kind of fun. Chocodiles. Which recently made a comeback.
That got me.
You know, it was a fat kid. Chocodiles.
You see, under the bridge, there's one of the punks from Dark Knight Returns.
Yep. Well, and then there's also the newscasters are the ones from Dark Knight Returns.
Yep.
If and there's you, a mention of Harvey Dent. Or Harvey Dent, and there's no T.
Yeah. So there's some total tie-ins to it. It's very interesting.
This is a lot of great 80s pop culture references. I mean...
The art from the acid trip.
Isn't
just,
it awesome?
Just
it's
beautiful.
The best.
I think it's a common theme, but I'm still convinced from what I've seen so far that this bum is actually Ollie the Magic Bum from Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Just like
it. Oh my god, now I want to play that so bad.
I haven't played that forever.
The first one?
I had an N64 version.
Ooh. I had PS2. You got Mr. T also.
Yeah.
A pity fool doesn't play my loose slots. That's ridiculous.
Clown turning into Ronald Reagan. That sounds great.
What's turning into Ronald Reagan?
The clown. The clown.
Oh, yeah. He thinks he's seen.
Yeah.
Not the most exciting of stories. I don't know.
I mean, it's just like
what drew you to it? Like, what made you think, like, oh, I need to buy this? This needs to be in my home.
I read the first issue, and again, first of all, the art. That's me. Yeah. We talk about it every time. I'm a stickler for beautiful artwork. But the way it's written, like, Remender, you know, I had started reading Black Science as well around that time. And I don't know, Remender just has a way of hooking people, I guess not everybody, but, you know, he hooked me. And I don't know, it's just great. I also love the way the panels are drawn. Like, they're all oblong shapes. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not just like a straight square panel page every time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of really tiny panels. That
like the introduction to
Yeah, like the panels in panels, so, yeah. Like, was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't read it, but just by looking over it, it seems like they do that in more chaotic moments. Like, yeah. If you go over to the heavy dialogue, then it is just very plain and ordinary, and I think it helps set the internal, you know, your internal mood as the reader when you're reading something a bit more chaotic.
I mean, I can imagine, like, the way it was written was, like, all this stuff is going on, put it on one page. All right, well, let's make 27 tiny panels so that you get the whole story, which is fine. And then it looks beautiful.
I love the cliques. You know, in our high schools, you had, like, you know, your jocks and your band geeks and your chess club and your what have you. And in this book, you get, you know, the Dixie Mafia, the Yakuza. You know, you see Saya has her Yakuza tattoos. Like, she's already got sleeves going, which is kind of cool. You have the cartels. Who else is represented? Am I missing somebody?
The preps.
The South Central.
Oh, yeah, the gangbangers. And so interesting because, like, these children in the school, most of them, again, being multiple generational, having gone to this program, you know, they're all either the sons and daughters of gangsters or somebody that has made a complete name for themselves on their own independently. But I don't know, like, when I watch Sons of Anarchy, Jax Teller, spoilers, doesn't want his children to be in the gang, even though his father was in the gang, okay? Like, I don't know of many criminals that look at their baby and they're like, man, I would really like for him to kill people for money someday.
It's usually like, I become a criminal so I can provide a better life for my children, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not that. Howdy, howdy.
Hey. I didn't know you guys were here.
What's up, bud?
Just grab trying to buy some comic books.
We normally close at 3.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. We're doing our book club today.
I guess we'll just hang out, man.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Grayson.
This is Grayson Slim Jim Smith, friend of mine, fraternity brother of me and Lucas. You want to grab a chair, Grayson?
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry. John, you want to get Grayson a chair?
Do your jab.
I can stand.
Grayson, it's okay, buddy. We're talking about Deadly Class from Image. Is this Image?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you read this, Grayson?
No.
Don't.
Sorry.
I'm the only person that thinks that. Don't worry. Like, good dialogue, great art. It's just, there's so many cliches, and then the problems that that arise for me, like the multi-generational kids. Like, oh, I want my kid to go to this assassin school and learn how to kill people. That's just so out there and unrealistic. It just doesn't work
for
me.
That's why it's in a comic book.
I don't know how many times
I have to point that out. But it's comic book, so it's not reality.
I don't know, how many times have we explained to you that fiction is fiction and you shouldn't be pissed off about
you
it?
You also did say cliche. It is a comic book. I mean, I will be honest. It's what we've read
it's
so
far is... It's a graphic novel, Leslie! God damn it!
Quick Confirm has 2 points. You got nothing.
Talking, god damn it. Talk about the fucking book. Fuck bags.
It is also about high schoolers.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically live through cliches.
Very true.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you were willing to continue to read, a lot of the things that are kind of touched on are explained further. It's I don't want to say it's like the Boondock Saints way of doing things, where you kind of get something here and then you understand it later. But it really kind of is, because the whole thing through the first 6 issues, you don't really know what Marcus actually did. You get the idea that he's got a bomb in his hand, but what did he do? And he obviously recognizes the guy at the end with the fucked up face. There's a reason for that.
Let's talk about the fucked up face guy.
All right, the guy, you find out actually later on that the guy calls himself Fuckface. That's what he calls himself. Do you want me spoil it? I mean,
well, it's his roommate, isn't it?
Yeah. It's his former roommate, but should I explain what happened?
Touching himself to the poodle?
Yeah, he was watching the the dog show.
Picked up the cat at the very end, was like, ooh, I got something for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this book ended with cat fucking.
Implied.
This man will be charged with 2 counts of cat fucking when he gets arrested.
Well, he fucked a goat earlier, so.
Then 1 count of goat fucking.
Control the cop, but more importantly.
Spreading the love. There you go.
I am loving the looks on the strainers' faces right now.
Yeah. You guys didn't read that. So again, that's why David didn't finish the book.
It's not actually depicted.
And I saw the goat, and I saw the man, and I saw his pants, and then I was like,
"That's all you get."
Well, what is this?
Yeah,
that's
why I read
for
it's not depicted that it's actually.
Go look at the cover of this recent issue. It's Fuckface with his little fucked up family all around him, and there's a goat right in front of him. He's in his tidy whities. He's looking at it. All
but then
dirty-like.
He also implied that he was about to rape that man as well. So.
Well, if you're going to fuck a cat, you'll probably fuck a butthole, too.
I was saying, if we're going to charge him for things.
Equal. Oh, yeah, well, sure. The anal rape of a man versus the anal rape of a cat. Got it. Or the vaginal. I don't know how the cat. I don't know if it's a boy cat.
I didn't explain it. I don't think he cares.
No.
John, you said that Fuckface is from... You said he reminds you of a character from something
Preacher.
Else?
Preacher.
Preacher.
Yeah. Looks just like him.
I've never read Preacher. I know that's
there's
a sin.
A guy.
I could not get through it. It's
basically,
so dark.
He followed Cobain to the D, and him and his friend were going to end their lives, and they're like, we're going to do this the Cobain way. And Arseface puts a shotgun in his mouth and fires. And his friend's like, well, fuck that, I'm out. I'm not doing that. And they end up doing like seven surgeries, and his face literally looks like a butthole. Yeah.
And the thing is, his father won't talk to him, but now, like, when his father gets home, like
he berates him.
Like he like muddles and he drools.
And
he
spits.
But he's so like happy with life. He's like, "Welcome home, Dad. It's so great to see you. I'm so happy you're home now." And the father won't even look at him.
It's
won't acknowledge
like,
him.
It's Arlie Ermey.
Does he really speak, or does he just sound like he's farting when he talks?
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of
Well, he makes like weird noises is how they kind of portray it, but they translate for him. So, yeah.
You've never read Preacher?
I know, right?
So
what the fuck?
No, it's like when I told people I haven't seen Arrow yet, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He's never seen Top Gun.
Yeah.
This is a whole other topic. Yeah. Thank you.
Your faces are so good. I want to make a cartoon out of you.
So many things are happening.
I don't like really army things in either Air Force or whatever the fuck they are. I don't like Tom Cruise.
You like dudes playing beach football? Good reasons to not watch. You like dudes playing beach volleyball.
Oh, but I do. That's why I watch it. Saving Grace is oiled up dudes playing beach volleyball. So excited! I'm gonna have to go to the Dibble household.
Do you like Val Kilmer?
This is Troy over here.
If you're a fan of Val Kilmer, you might like Top Gun.
Well, I like Val Kilmer. He's alright.
Is your likeness for Val Kilmer stronger than your hatred for
Tom Cruise? I mean, I don't hate Tom Cruise.
Also,
I mean,
if you like
yeah.
Anthony Edwards, pre-ER.
Yeah.
When he had hair.
Yeah, Goose. Right? Yeah. I know enough.
When he had hair.
I rode the fucking roller coaster at King's Island. Is that kind
of... Oh, man, he's like he's an aficionado.
That's the whole movie right there.
Yeah.
And then all you gotta do is...
Danger Zone!
All right,
let's get your joke. I'm sorry.
Let's finish this up.
You got that.
I got it, but
it's
the
song
way
in
better.
The movie. It's
time. Yeah, I don't get you.
Okay,
sorry.
All right. I mean, there's not much else really to say about the book. We've kind of got out of everything. Some people hated it. Some people liked it. Some people liked parts
of it. One person hated it. Everybody.
One person hated it. And one only person in the entire world that hated this book.
I haven't read it. I'll
it's
say
an amalgamation of different stories.
It is, but it's
yeah, I'm having the same issue I had when we read Fables here. It was like, I liked it the first time it was called Harry Potter.
See, this is why I want you to read Black Science, because it's another Reminder book, and we discussed that and how awkward it was.
Yeah, I was
that was the last one that we actually recorded here.
Black Science is actually really good.
Right, and if you read further, it just gets better, and that's the same
I
with this. This
I feel like I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to get online and be like, "I hated this book," and you all are going to be like, "You're a cockstain, man."
Well, see, the thing is, I was the only one that did not care for Black Science.
Hallelujah!
Yeah,
same
grace.
Was it the frog people? It was
yeah, no, there were some interesting. Like,
well, they're frog people. Let's slow down.
Creation.
I am
that
French.
That was my favorite part was the character creation in it, but
frogs.
Yeah, it was not a fan.
All right. Any other thoughts?
What's the next book?
Segway.
It's going to be Long Halloween.
Ooh,
hallelujah.
Very good.
I only got one copy back there.
We have
here
a date for that?
Give
us a minute. I should have done this earlier.
Fucking, you had 1 month to plan for this.
One job, John Sullivan.
One job.
One job.
I can't do it.
While we're at it, what's the following month?
Yeah, might as well.
Might as well just get them all at once.
Just do the next 6 months.
It'll be March 7th.
Oh, yeah, we are in exactly...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. March 7th. So, March 7th. Here at the Androids Dungeon.
3:30.
Fantabulous, Avon, Indiana.
No, it's scenic.
Fuck you.
9719 East U.S. Highway 36, Suite Q. You can get a hold of John Sullivan or Danger Dillman at 317-653-1883 for all your comic book needs. Any questions? Gentlemen? Lady?
See you next month.
Bye.